ago. Now, it's been a long time, about 12, 15 years, I guess. And I got an email from Brian, and he had been listening to a radio broadcast. He was pastoring a Baptist church at that time. And he lives out on Sand Mountain. Brian, is it Brian? Higdon. He always corrects me. It's not Brian. Higdon, Alabama. Y'all raise your hand so he can see where you are. This is Jake and Sandy. They're going to be moving out there. And I don't want y'all going out there starting a church or anything. Yeah. We'll just have to start a bus run from down and say, and then y'all can jump on it, Jerry. We got, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, it's really fascinating to me and really wonderful. We've got Brother Fred, who teaches, and he used to be a Baptist preacher. Brother Mark plays the piano and teaches. He used to be a Baptist preacher. Brother Brian used to be a Baptist preacher. So little by little, we're making some inroads. You know, it's one thing for people to see the truth, but I really appreciate men that are willing to walk away from something they've been part of for years to stand for the truth. And I know that's not an easy thing to do, and I really appreciate their ministry. And so, Brother Brian, you just come on and preach to us. For those that have preached and you go to Facebook to see it, I had everything set up here and all I forgot to do is hit start. Well, yeah, it's going.
Morning. I appreciate the speakers this morning. Brother Steve, appreciate that. Brother Jan, and of course last night too, caught those. I appreciate the attendance here and the opportunity here just to be fellowship with you. Brother Steve's right. I had left the Baptist church and the things there. Never agreed with them anyway, hardly, on a lot of things. Especially when I got into ministry, I started reading the Bible for myself and not taking traditional ideology behind it, right? And so I started reading the Bible myself, and I could decide then and go, you know, these things just not making sense, right? It's much deeper than the bride of Christ, which they agree or disagree on, or the rapture, when, where, and why. Everyone has their own opinion on that as far as the Baptist ministry and churches, but when it comes to atonement, Brother Jan, Brother Steve, and others taught, that was not fair. And I couldn't help it but read the Bible and just, hey, just believe what it says, where it says it, when it says it, whom it says it to. So some things, 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = not 8. Right? So some things are different. Caught the radio station, Brother Steve and others, I think, 1490, and then Brother E.C. Moore was on there some, and some other men. I don't remember. It's been a day or two there, and I heard that, and I heard it, listened to it a third time, caught it, listened to it a third, fourth time, caught it. I said, well, that's it. This dispensational idea, that's it. Looked up the word dispensation in the Bible, and lo and behold, it's 4 times right there, 5, right there. I thought, never heard that before, you know. And so it just took off from there, good or bad, right or wrong, it just took off from there, amen. I'm like Paul, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you also, amen. That's where I am again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, amen. And that's where I'm at. We can agree and disagree on some things. And I say a lot of time on Facebook, I can't stand it. I use it for good, and I get what I can out of it. But people need to agree to disagree and quit arguing in public over these things. Say, man, just move on. Just move on. If you got a disagreement, hey, there's a thing called a telephone. Okay? But, hey, it can be enjoyable to see sometimes. You know, you make a list. Yeah. No. Or you can go, well, they're on my list now. You know, I'm not like that. I'm just kidding. Romans chapter 2. That's close. I get points for that. Romans chapter 2. Brother Steve, we got on this morning. I'm going to continue on with Jan. Talked about it just a little bit. What you can't the subject I'm on, you can't get past it or away from it if you're talking about Paul's gospel. You just can't, right? And I'm going to reiterate a little thing Steve got on this morning. And it's called, Paul calls it my gospel. And there's some things there that we all know, but I'm hoping there'll be a couple things here this morning that maybe we just hadn't hammered on so much, right? And Lord knows it's all there, right? If God wrote it down, I just believe we ought to believe it. Amen? So Romans chapter 2, we'll just read one verse here. Verse 16, you know where I'm going. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So Paul says he's going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Paul makes a point here about my gospel. He didn't say a gospel. He didn't say the gospel of the circumcision. In Galatians 2, it's my gospel. There's a very particular message Paul has. And we know this, and most know this, and should know this. If you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, let's go there quickly about Paul's gospel. He said he's going to judge the secrets of men by what? My gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll pick up at verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's going to judge the secrets of men according to what? Paul's gospel. Okay? So I think that's kind of the idea that we get right there. There's going to be a judgment according to Paul's gospel. Take it or leave it. Do what you want to with it. But Paul's gospel is the gospel given us today. Now back to Romans chapter 2. Paul says that in verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Again, if you'll go to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1, I've reiterated this before, and I will cover it quickly again here this morning. There's two gospels in Romans chapter 1. Quickly, Romans chapter 1, you got the gospel of God. Paul says here, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called him an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Things you can read about the gospel of God, right? There's no secrets there, folks. You can read that. Very obvious in your scripture. Verse 3, and it concerns whom? His son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by what? The resurrection from the dead. That's the gospel of God. Christ's resurrection from the dead. But notice this, Brother Stephen, we all read in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. Here's the second gospel. Romans 1 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's even labeled different. It's labeled different because it is different. Let's continue on. For it is the power. Let's read it again wholly. Sorry. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Couple of things here. This gospel is different than the gospel of God. This gospel here will bring salvation by believing in it. That brings salvation. The gospel of God does not bring salvation in it. Okay? Not according to Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel is right behind us. You believe, you trust that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day, according to Scriptures, thou shalt be saved. That's salvation. So, Paul's gospel through here concerns Jesus Christ. How many Jesuses are there in the Bible that's the only begotten Son of God? There's one. There's only one. There's not many, but there's one. Amen? There's just one. And so when we come to Paul's gospel, through the book of Romans in particular, he's laying out, opening up revelation through here about Christ, who is God's Son by the resurrection, but about Christ, His atonement, His reconciliation, the forgiveness, the imputation of righteousness, the justification of life by faith in Paul's gospel. He says, my gospel, the gospel of Christ. He's bringing out through Romans, it opens up. So if you just stop in Romans chapter 1, you go, okay. So I go by their prophets and read that. That makes sense. You go to Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Okay, you haven't went very far, but you go, okay, his gospel. So what has to do with the gospel of God? And I guess that's verse 16. No. If you read the book of Romans, then you begin to see God's revealing God's plan for all mankind through Paul's gospel. Romans 16 and 25 to me is the whole key to understanding it. From beginning of Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 16, you see the revelation of the gospel of Christ come out. Now, Galatians was the first book penned down, but God, for some reason, put Romans chapter 1, or Romans, in front of Galatians in Paul's epistles. Do you believe that? Do you believe it's God put it there on purpose? There's a reason the Lord does not do anything by accident. Well, okay. Well, maybe next time. It doesn't work that way. Everything is according to His will. Even Pilate, who condemned Christ, he didn't know what he's been used for. But there was a hidden wisdom. Brother Steve just talked about it. 1 Corinthians 2 and 7. That had to do with the crucifixion of Christ. Is the wisdom wasn't known. But when Paul brings out the preacher of the cross, then guess what? It's known. Alright? So Romans 16 and 25 in your King James Bible. Romans 16 and 25. So all of this in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, the gospel of God, Christ's resurrection, is known. And then you move from what's known that you can read in the scripture, right? The gospel of God, we read that. All through there, you can go from what's known about Christ. Through Romans, then you come to Romans 16 and 25, and there's a revealing, then you can find out what Paul's gospel is to that which was unknown. It's interesting. It opens up with what's known. And then Paul finishes in Romans 16. He says, I reveal unto you that which was not known, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Romans 16 and 25. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to, there's them two words again, my gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So Paul's preaching something that was unknown about Christ. Same Jesus in Romans chapter 1, the gospel of God, but a Jesus has been revealed something about His work, not just His person, about the work of His death, His burial, and His resurrection for all men, for all mankind. And that's why it means to justification of life. And everyone loves Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9, and that's why. You're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a worse that any man should boast. Now look at verse 26. But now is made, but now. That's a big two words in Paul's epistle, especially Romans, but now. But now. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, the gospel of God, you can read about it. Romans 1 and 16, the gospel of Christ, you didn't know about it until Paul reveals it in Romans. And so Paul says, but now it's made manifest. That which is unknown in verse 25 is now made manifest. Why is it now made manifest? Paul just taught it in 15 chapters here. Amen? In the book of Romans. He just taught it, right? Sure he did. And it says, is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for what? The obedience of faith. So the obedience of faith is in concert with the gospel of Christ. It's obedient to the faith of what Paul preached, that God. I think it has to do with believing in Paul's gospel. God commands all men to be saved, and that Paul says obedience of faith unto the gospel. So the gospel of Christ is a crucified Savior where mankind is accepted, is redeemed, is reconciled, the atonement's been made. Where's Brother Jan? Brother Jan, the atonement's been made. Forgiveness is not a question, thank God, because it's not about us, it's about Christ. Amen? Those things, righteousness, imputated righteousness, justification by faith, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Those things are through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The preaching of Jesus Christ. And Paul so calls it my gospel. Now about our work, it's not about our work. It's about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what God's done for us. Amen? Some might even say, well, what could we do for God? in our reconciliation? What can we do to be saved? The Scripture makes it clear in Paul's gospel, there's nothing you can do but believe it, accept it from the heart, believe what God's done for you, accept it, admit you're a sinner, admit you're dying, admit you're condemned, admit you have no way out, and admit that Christ Jesus is the only way, and what He done for you at Calvary, He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to Scripture, and by believing that for our sins, a man, woman, boy, and girl is saved without any question about it. That's the gospel Paul preached. Now, he was run out of synagogues not because he preached something Peter preached, because he preached what God gave him to preach, which is contrary, and it still goes on today. I'm living proof of that right now. I am. I certainly am. I've seen it firsthand, had the conversations. First time I knew there would be a problem, Brother Steve, I don't know if I told you, was I taught on baptism what it is and is not. One of the deacons is on the way back out. He said, well, Brother Brown, what about that? I gave another teaching. He says, well, I don't know how to believe that. And I said, well, if I were you, I would just believe the book. Well, I just don't know. And I didn't say to him, I thought, well, you're right, you don't know. You do not know. I didn't say it to him. I prayed for him, and all we can do is read the book. Amen? Compare Scripture with Scripture. And Paul's gospel is that. When Paul says, my gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began. The gospel of Christ is what the book of Romans is about. When you read it, it's a revealing of what it means. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. What He done. And what it means for all mankind. Not just one or two. Not according to prophecy, not according to works, not according to the law, but the righteousness of God is revealed now without the law. Romans chapter 3, verse 19, 20, and 21. The righteousness of God is revealed without the law. Without the law. Amen? And that's the gospel of Christ. So, one, well, if you don't have the cross today, if you don't believe the cross of Christ died for our sins, there is no salvation. Listen, you can't get to heaven without the death of Christ. You can't do that. The gospel of God will not save you, but the gospel of Christ will save you. It's one or the other. Now, Jesus is not a secret, folks, as we said. His death, burial, and resurrection is not a secret. But what it means in the grades of grace, the dispensation of the grace of God, in the finished work of Calvary, to all men, all our sins, the reconciliation and atonement, by grace through faith and justification of life, well, that's what's been revealed. So let's keep on. Now, the doctrine, when you look at Paul's gospel, my gospel, what does it mean? It means Adam, the doctrine of Adam. So I mentioned this before, but real quickly, the doctrine of Adam. So Paul moves into the doctrine of Adam in Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. And so when Paul mentions his gospel, this is some revealing about the doctrine of Adam. Okay? Things that were kept secret, not made known. Let me ask you a question. Is Adam a new term in your Bible? No. Anyone can read Genesis 3 knows about Adam, right? Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Okay? And so, what that meant when what Christ done for us through Calvary, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that has to do with Adam, his sin, and our nature passing upon all men. That's what that has to do with. So Paul brings out the doctrine of Adam. That's in the, look, Romans chapter 5, just a couple of verses. So here at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. That's Adam's offense. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. By whom? Jesus Christ. So, the long story short, I'm not going to get into all this, but the gospel of Christ brings out the doctrine of Adam. from Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, the fall of man and Adam's sin. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What Adam happened there was the repercussions of it, and what Christ, being the second Adam, has done for mankind, all of mankind, and the revelation of what it means for man because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, because as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, that sin came upon all men, for all have sinned. God has counted all men sinners. And that nature from Adam's passed upon us. And so what Paul's getting to, he's bringing out some revelation about Adam. How, what he was, how he sinned, and what Christ did in becoming sin for all men. For all men. Now there's some things there that I know that some people get a little deeper into. I'm not going to. I don't have that time. Okay? So we'll continue on. So Paul's gospel. What about Paul's gospel? Let's go to Galatians chapter 1 in your King James Bible. Brother Steve was on it a while ago. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I'll read a few verses that was read a few minutes ago. So Paul's gospel, he calls it my gospel because it is his gospel. It's unique to Paul. It's unique to the revelation of the mystery and preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. Who gave himself for what? Our sins. Again, what's the gospel of salvation? 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Again, Galatians here, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Verse number, we'll go down, verse 6, I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. So Paul goes on here, and he comes down at verse number 10. Where were we at? Oh, verse 11. Verse 11. Paul says, but I certify you, brethren, talking about this gospel, his gospel, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, I was given this gospel by the revelation of Christ. He didn't learn it from Peter, James, and John. Just go to Galatians chapter 2. So Galatians chapter 2, we'll pick up a couple of things here. So Paul comes to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. He's talking about it, speaking up here in Galatians 2. You see, so verse number 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because the false brethren unawares brought in who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel, and Paul says the gospel in this context, is my gospel. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Okay? It's where his death, burial, and resurrection means eternal life. For all who would trust in that gospel. So he says, verse 6, but of these who seem to be somewhat, notice this, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But I want to revisit that. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So Paul says in verse 6 there that Paul, he got his gospel from a risen Savior. So Paul didn't go to Peter, James, and John. We know this. But he got his gospel from Christ. They didn't know what Paul was preaching. That's why he was summoned to Jerusalem. Go to Acts 15. They had no clue what he was preaching. He even spent how much time with Peter in Galatians 1, 22 and 23 and so? He spent some time with Peter previously, but still it's like, I like to think Peter said, boys, let me tell you what this Paul is preaching. We need to talk to him. Deacon board. Local Baptist church. We need to call a deacon meeting tonight, right? So we need to have a conversation with his pastor. So Paul says here, verse 16, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person, for they who seem to be someone in conference added nothing to me. So Paul's saying there that those men, those apostles who seem to be leaders in Jerusalem and the apostles there, he says, it makes no difference to me. They may have authority in Jerusalem, but they do not have authority over God. Did you not catch that? They do not have authority over the Lord Jesus Christ. You still haven't caught that. These men were lifted up on a pedestal because that's where Christ put them. Y'all don't need to get quiet now. Right? In his flesh, did he not make Peter said, on this rock, and I'll give thee authority. Whatsoever shall be bound in heaven shall be bound where? Some people want to read deeper in there. I think it just says what it says and what it means. It's not that difficult to believe. Peter exercised that authority in the book of Acts. When those two held back that money for that, he said, dead. Well, they died. So you tell me he didn't have the authority. Yeah, he did. Paul says that they seem one in conference, meaning they seem to have the authority and the ones to go to. And Paul says, they don't mean nothing to me. That's what the gospel means to Paul. He knew where he got it. He knows what it means because 1 Timothy chapter 1, he talks about that in me first, long suffering, I obtained mercy and grace through Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul says this conference is about them. Say, Paul lays out, notice the confidence Paul has in the Lord, in the gospel that he preached, not the confidence in men. See, there's things there about Paul's gospel we need to take into effect. Our confidence is in Christ, in what Christ said, what God said about this matter, not men. You're here today not because you go, well, I like old brother Steve so much, I'm just going to go there. Brother Stephen knows that's not true. When you come to a church that rightly buys, amen, and understands the grace, you're here because you know there's some truth going on. I tell you, you're not here for any other reason than that. Because if it's any other reason, you'll hit the doors faster. Well, I'm not going to leave that out. You'll hit the doors pretty fast. Amen. You know, I come to a thing in my ministry through the years, I practice it some, that sometimes people are people that you just don't get along with, and in a wise like this, it's better to see them go than to see them come. I'm serious. Hey, it's like, hit the door, I'll hold it for you. Sometimes you need to say that, folks, I'm just going to tell you. Right or wrong, that's Brian's theology. Okay? So, the gospel of Christ, but Paul says, my confidence is in the Lord and in the gospel given to me. Notice also Paul does not put confidence in those men, in their status, because their status next to what Paul has been received the Lord means nothing next to his gospel. Insomuch, look at this, continue on. Verse 7, but contrary wise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, verse 8, for he that wrought officially in Peter the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty towards the Gentiles in me, was mighty in me, I'll get it right, toward the Gentiles. And so, here, and when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be what? Those are the men, he says, listen, they're in confidence. And what did he say? He seemed, whoever seemed whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. Paul says, I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are. Sam, I don't care. That's Sam Mountain Lincoln. I don't care. I don't care who they are. Ain't nothing to me. You know? Paul says, they ain't nothing to me because he's been given a gospel. Look at Galatians 1. This is what he reiterates. Look, Brother Steve read it, and we'll read it again. Verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. Paul says, there's not another. But there was another. You ever thought about that? What? Oh, well, it'd be all right if there's just one being taught and things, but Acts chapter 13, Paul just throws a whole big wad of salt and sand in their transmission. You know what I mean? He puts salt. He said, they're all fine until Paul says, justified from all things through Jesus Christ. What? Did he really just say that? He don't know whose synagogue he's in. He don't know what we got here, you know. You know. I've heard that before too. So, Paul says, verse 8, but though we, This is pretty strong, Brother Steve. I mean, or an angel from heaven. You think about that. Or an angel. Now think about how many denominations they had angels tell them doctrine. Look it up. Google. Internet's a wonderful thing. You'll go, whoo, wow. What about that? He said, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. Verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. It's pretty strong words. Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, when you compare them to, isn't it? So Paul says, it doesn't matter who they are. There's leaders, there's apostles. He says, I've got a message given to me. The message is given to me. And I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. So Paul says, now, it doesn't matter to me who you are, Peter, James, and John. Hey, I respect your ministry. You go your way. I'll go my call and do what I do. But I'm not changing my message because of you. I'm not changing my stand on the gospel because of you. I'm not changing because you can't save me. Jesus can and did. Now look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, Paul has a prayer. And we're going to look at a couple of verses. Ephesians 1, verse 16. Ephesians 1, verse 16. Verse 16, cease not, Paul says, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who? Him. Paul says, interesting, Paul's gospel is about Christ. It's not about Paul. And it's definitely not about you tithing. It's not about you being baptized. It's not about you confessing your sins. It's not about you coming to church when the door is open to show that God's accepted you, to earn God's favor. It's not nothing you can do. It's not your righteousness. The gospel Paul preached is all about what God has done for you and accepted you through His Son and what He done for us at Calvary. You know God accepted His Son He accepted His Son, and therefore we, the believer, are accepted in Him. That's the difference. So let's continue verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him His own right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might, and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Do you think Paul took his gospel serious? You just read it right there. Above all principality and power, dominion, might, and every name that is named. Have you got that yet? That gospel, Paul's, I've got it. Hey, no matter what Peter and James, I know what they are, but I'm not changing my opinion because of them. I'm not honoring them, and my gospel is the gospel gave to me. Let's continue on. Okay, verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Okay? So, Christ became the head of the church in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The gospel of God? No. How did He become the head of the church, and when did it happen? Verse 20. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also which is coming, hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He was the head of the church when He was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead when He died. He was raised from the dead when He was buried, because dead men are what? Buried. So when God raised Him from the dead, He had to die first. And Paul's dying, he said, reconcile us to God. Through his death, we are reconciled. Through his blood, there's redemption and forgiveness. Amen? And by his resurrection, there is justification of life. Christ became the head, the body of Christ, after the resurrection. That's when it's preached and when it's taught above all principality and power and dominion and might. He became the head of the church, the body of Christ, then. That's what we know. Do we know anything outside of that? We can't. It's there. And so, what am I getting to? I'm meaning Paul's gospel, Paul's letter. What is it? The revelation of mystery. Preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery, according to my gospel. Right? He's preaching Christ, something that was not known before. And that what was not known before is the gospel here and him being the head of the church, the body of Christ. Only Paul mentions the body of Christ, where Christ is the head. And right here, he was not known to be the head. Well, not known, but Paul brings it here, speaking of after the resurrection. Not in Corinthians. Ephesians was after Corinthians. Don't get confused. We're members there, right? Which is the head. But that happened and was known after who? Christ what? Resurrection. Okay? And so what Paul says, listen, what I've got, my gospel, do I persuade men or God? Or I seek to please men? If I should please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul's gospel is just that. He preaches Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. It's something Paul has. When Paul says, my gospel, look at 2 Timothy 2 and 8. Steve, is it 35 minutes? Has it been 35 minutes? I didn't even look. It is? Okay. All right. 2 Timothy 2. Paul mentions this again. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So Paul says one verse here that we want to look at. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So Christ's resurrection from the dead is not a mystery. But in Paul's gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection means salvation to all men, for all men, because of his work at Calvary. And the Father accepting Christ for that work, raise them from the dead for all mankind. Justification and the life. Paul says, my gospel, resurrection. What does 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 say? It's right there. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So Christ's resurrection in Paul's gospel has to do with him dying for our sins, being buried for reconciliation and atonement, and being accepted to God and resurrected from the dead, becoming the head, the church, the body of Christ. So Paul's gospel brings out the gospel of our salvation, Ephesians 1:13. It brings out the gospel of the grace of God, Acts 20:24. It brings out the mystery of the gospel, Ephesians 6. It all comes through preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Paul's gospel. My gospel, he calls it. And he respected men, but when it comes to the gospel and his calling, he stood firm on what God sent him to do. And that gospel. And so today, that's the gospel that we stand firm on too. That's the gospel we believe. Because without that, there is no salvation, folks. Let me say this real quick. There is no law of works to get pleasing with God. You cannot be accepted with that. The Bible says we're under law, but we're under grace. So there's only one place to go to. Someone says, well, I believe the red letters. You should believe the red letters. Amen. Read them. Read them. Thank God. But you can't practice them. Well, the Lord said, if you see something yonder, if your eye offends you, what did he tell you to do? Folks, he magnified the law. You thought the law was bad till Christ showed up. When he showed up into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, bless the Lord, he laid down the law. He told you exactly what you can and can't do to enter the kingdom of heaven. But now, you're under grace. and the preaching of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the mystery, Paul says, it's my gospel. You won't find it outside of Paul. You won't find it because I like to think of it as the prophets is there. You can read about Jesus, but you can't read about the mystery. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for all men. Adam, the second Adam, and the body of Christ and what it means. Our position's in heaven because we're already there. Amen? Now is accepted time. The day is the day of salvation. Paul's gospel says that. And there's nothing you can do about it but two things. You can accept it or you can deny it. Eternity's a long time. What would you do? What would you do? Thank you, Brother Steve. Thank you, church. Thank you.